This is the Black and Blue Report, straight from the source. No appointment radio, wherever, whenever. Now, from Studio B, or from wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Black and Blue Report. I'm Cindy Robinson.
And I'm Caroline Gonzalez.
And it is a very happy Friday, Caroline. Why is that?
Because we're in the playoffs.
Look, my voice is so terrible, I couldn't even scream.
You were screaming too much at the game the other night.
Yeah, you know, it was so exciting. Okay, so let's be real. We're super excited right now for the Pels. They're in playoffs. It starts tomorrow.
Yep, I'm excited. I don't know, like everyone in the office has been saying, you know, obviously this is our first year at this organization. And so both teams have made it to the playoffs now. And everyone's like, don't take it for granted because it doesn't happen a lot. And it's so awesome to see the Pelicans go after such a great season. It's just so cool.
It was a very up and down season.
Absolutely.
And after coming off the Saints playoff season, it was a little like, okay, let's brace ourselves. Right. Like, but I loved how the team came together. They, even especially after the whole Boogie situation, they figured it out and they made it happen. And I'm so proud of them, wishing them the best going into this first round.
Right.
I am actually very confident for them.
I am too. You know, they're coming off of 5-game win streak, so we're going to touch on that a little bit today. We're also going to give you a little stat for stat, Portland versus the Pelicans, see how they match up. And we're also going to tell you something good because there is a lot of good things to talk about the Pelicans today. So we're excited for today's show and thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Look, I'm saying it like I'm joining you. But okay, let's get into this stat for stat.
Well, Cindy, good news. Because the Pelicans are on top, okay?
I know, I saw that too. I was so excited. I was like, look at that. It's just saying, we're gonna get this.
So I don't really think, so the seeding is important, yeah. But it's not everything. Because the West was so tight this year.
So tight.
And so I don't think it matters as much what seeds they were, but I think stat for stat, the Pelicans match up very well with Portland.
Right.
So I do need to preface this with, for the first two games, so Portland and Pelicans have played 4 games total this season, and they're 2-2. But good news for Pelicans fans, AD did not play in the first 2 games that they played against Portland. He played for the first 5 minutes of the first game and then went out with an ankle sprain. And then in the second game, he was coming off of a pelvis injury that he had suffered against the Utah Jazz the game before. So that's good news. Granted, we did have DeMarcus Cousins during that time, but it's still good news because the Pelicans were able to hold their own for those 2 games. And they won one without AD, and then they won another one, obviously. So, good things. It's all looking up, right?
Right. Okay, so I, like you said, looking at the stats, it looks like we're on top. I kind of did some player versus player stat for stat.
Okay.
Looked up Dame Lillard because, you know, you can't talk Portland without talking Dame.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously one of their top scorers. Someone you have to be concerned about when you're talking about this team and, you know, stopping this team. So Dame has averaged 26.9 points per game this year over the season. He's shooting 44%. Obviously, that's good. You know, he's very consistent. We know how strong of a player he is. On the flip side, and I know they're not necessarily the matchup of players, but AD is our top scorer. So he's averaging 28.1 points per game, and he's at 53%. So I like my odds there as far as who they have to shut down, mm-hmm. you know, from our standpoint, and who we have to shut down from their standpoint. We also can't forget CJ McCollum,
mm-hmm.
who is on he's right under Dame with 21.4 points per game and shooting 44% as well. But then we have Jrue Holiday, who is 19 points per game, but he's so consistent with 49% shooting. So we know we've seen Jrue have some of his best games in the last few games that they've played, and he's stepping up and being a lot more aggressive.
Right, I agree. I Tell me if you disagree with this. I think this series is going to come down to three things. I think it's going to come down to who can control the boards, because if you look at it, the Pelicans really need to box out against them. The Portland had Portland ranks top 10 in offensive rebounds. In the last matchup they had with the Pelicans, they had 17 offensive rebounds, which we know gives them 17 more opportunities to score the basketball. Right. Second thing they need to pay attention to is defense and keeping the guards contained. You just mentioned Dame and CJ McCollum. We also need to pay attention to Yusuf Nurkic, yep. I gotta say it right, yep, who's averaging his career best 14 points and 9 rebounds. Yes. But he's going against AD, who's averaging 28 points and 11 rebounds. So we need to contain them, right? So obviously we're not going to shut down CJ and Damian, but we can contain them. So I think if we can hold them under, I'm going to say 20 points for Dame and 15 points for CJ, I think we'll be doing our job.
It definitely makes a difference because they are their main two scorers. They're basically the team. But Nurkic is, I agree with you that I don't think he's a matchup for AD. Like, I don't think he'll be able to handle AD. But in the event that he is, you know, giving AD problems down in the paint, I think we need to definitely see our shooters, you know, step up and actually, and that's what makes me excited about Mirotić, mm-hmm. because he's on a roll right now. He's definitely got his confidence up. He's scoring more. He's taking great shots, something we talked about before, and obviously we already know. He's shaving the beard.
Right. Well, I think back to Yusuf and AD, I think AD does so well when he has someone down in the post who he can be competitive against. When he has to match up with someone down low who's going to challenge him, I think that's when he gets very competitive and he thrives. So I think that's going to be a cool matchup to see during this series, which leads me into the third thing that the series is going to come down to, which I think is the Pelicans doing their job on offense. You mentioned Nikola, you know, shooting so well. And, of course, he shaved his beard, which he's been, you know, doing great ever since then. We need to send him some razors in Portland. But I think everyone doing their job on offense is going to be such an important thing for the Pelicans during this series. We need Rondo to limit his turnovers. We need Drew to attack the basket. We need AD to have his, you know, all-star performance every game. I think if everyone can do their job, we'll be great.
Right. Well, tomorrow is the first game, Saturday. I hope everyone will be tuning in because we're going to need all the support we can get, obviously. First two games are in Portland, and then they will return to New Orleans to give us two games here at the Smoothie King Center.
I don't know about you, Cindy, but I'm already looking forward to my Saturday nap. I've planned out my brunch around 11. I'm going to probably eat, you know, another meal around like 3 or 4, and then I'm going to nap from 4 to 6 or 7, and then I'm going to wake up and watch the Pelicans game at 9:30.
Right, yeah, you have to be ready to be a night owl for that, and luckily we don't have work the next day, so it's right. One of those, it's okay if I stay up late for mm-hmm. once, because I got to cheer my team on and yep. make sure that everything goes well. I've been enjoying tweeting during these games lately when we don't have to work them.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see how this first playoff game goes.
I am too.
I think it's kind of important too that we kind of get the first one mm-hmm. just to have that.
Set the tone.
You know, yeah. Even if we don't win out the two games there, I do think that first one is going to set the tone for the series for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, do you have anything good to tell me today about the Pelicans?
We made it to playoffs. No, I'm just kidding.
Other than that, I mean, of course, that is the best thing. The best thing. Well, I have some things that we can talk about. Well, first thing is that the Pelicans are the number 6 seed, which makes this season the first time since 2008 that the franchise has earned better than a 7th or 8th seed.
Wow.
That's a big deal. Wow. I don't know about you, but like when I think of the years, it doesn't feel like 2018 to me. Like when I think of 2000, I feel like that was like 5 years ago.
Right.
But 2008 was 10 years ago, 10 years ago, which is crazy to think that this is the first year that we're not a 7th or 8th seed.
Right.
You know, that's such a long time and we've come such a long way and these guys are so deserving of it.
I think that another something good that I'll throw out there is that we have a healthy squad right now.
Right.
Granted, there were some nicks and bruises, you know, leading up to those last final games of the regular season, but that last game, everybody was available to play. Everyone played. Everyone came out looking unscathed, as far as we know. And I think everyone's excited going into the playoffs because of that reason. You know, they're really having fun right now. Mm-hmm. And obviously no injuries are a fun thing.
For all those people that tweeted, the Pelicans season is over when DeMarcus Cousins went down, all I have to say is ye of little faith in the Pelicans, okay?
We see you. We see you. I mean, we accept bandwagon fans. Don't get it twisted. We appreciate all the support. But at the same time, we see you. We know where you are. We know who you are. Trust me.
I think another thing that they're doing well is that they're moving on all cylinders right now. They're second in the NBA in field goal percentage, shooting 48%. If you look at Mirotić, if you look at Ian Clark, Etuan Moore, AD, everyone's shooting the ball at such a high percentage, and everyone's confident in their shot. You know, ever since Nikola shaved his beard, you can see that confidence in him. He's not afraid to drive to the basket. He's not afraid to crash the boards. He's not afraid to take the three that's 5 feet outside the three-point line. You know, he's confident, and he's just ripping it.
I think when we're talking about confidence there, I'm really going to go off of the fact that we're seeing confidence in all the players right now.
Right.
A lot of the ones where you kind of felt like they weren't key role players at the beginning of the season, and they've stepped up major in that aspect. Ian Clark, Etuan, Darius even, and obviously Drew. And Rondo, let's not forget Rondo, the assists.
We're third in the NBA in assists per game with 26.8.
And that's because of Rondo.
Right.
That's because of, and I honestly think he's also encouraged the other players to give, you know, get
he's sharing his knowledge. He's, we've talked about it time and time again, and you've seen it on every broadcast, that Rondo is such an intellectual basketball player, and he shares that basketball IQ with his teammates. He's telling players where to go. He's telling players which passes are good passes, which passes are bad passes, and things like that. Another reason why he's averaging 8 assists per game. I think that turnover ratio for them is huge, which is why they're third in the NBA in assists. Another thing that is working so well for the Pelicans is the pick and roll. It's kind of like a pick your poison type thing. You know, it's okay, do you want to take Rajon Rondo off the dribble, or do you want him to pass it to AD and who's going to make the defenders pay? You know, it's honestly a pick your poison type thing, and they're so effective at it right now.
But something we haven't paid attention to either is that we've seen a lot of our guards get into the paint that same way.
Yeah, exactly.
That same exact
and
way.
They can pull up. So they can come off the screen, they draw two defenders, and then they lob it to AD. Or if they're worried about AD, the defenders both go with AD, and our guys are either pulling up or going to the basket. I think they're being so effective at the pick and roll, and it's working for them.
Well, I don't want to, you know, sell the Trailblazers short because, like we said, they are a good team. They're in the third seed for a reason. But I'm going to say that I don't think this is going to be a sweep on either side.
Right.
I do think this is going to be a very competitive series, probably one of the best we may see because they match up very well against each other, I think. But I'm calling it in 6 games.
I agree. I would agree with that. You know, Damian Lillard has not played. He's played well against the Pelicans, but he hasn't played exceptional. He's 7 of 30 on threes with the Pelicans. And the Pelicans are doing so well on defense right now, holding their opponents to 44% shooting since March 1st, which is third best in the NBA. So you look at guys like Drew Holiday, who's, you know, should be the make the NBA all defense team. You look at AD, who is affecting everyone's shot. Right. You look at Rondo, who's so intelligent on in his defense. What game was that where he came up with the big steal? Was that
that was the one against the Warriors?
Yeah, the Warriors. Yeah, he's just so effective on defense, and they're just in this mindset right now of getting stops and making them pay on that offensive end. It's good basketball.
They also have this underdog factor because they know people aren't looking for them to go to the second round. And at the end of the day, they're trusting and believing in themselves, and that's all that matters. They made it this far when people were saying they weren't going to even be anything into the playoffs. So it's going to be exciting. I hope you guys are tuning in tonight. It's going to be fun. So when we return from the break, we'll be talking to Fox Sports New Orleans host Aaron Hartigan about the first round of playoffs a little more. Stay tuned.
In 1907, Dixie Beer was a balanced, refreshing lager, brewed with love and top quality ingredients. It would grow to become something that connected us, the neighborhood beer of every New Orleans neighborhood. And now, Dixie is back to that 1907 recipe, original and reinvented, just like its hometown. Visit DixieBeer.com to learn more, and always drink Dixie responsibly. Dixie Brewing Company, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Boom! Now Uber takes you couch to courtside at the tap of a button. Heading to a Pelicans game? Uber helps you pass on the parking and focus on the fun. And if you're still an Uber rookie, you can get $20 off your first ride with code PELICANS18. Uber, a proud partner of your New Orleans Pelicans.
Joined by Aaron Hartigan from Fox Sports New Orleans. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on / putting up with me this morning. How cool. I love that. I love that they're finally letting you two have the reins on Black and Blue Report, so I'm thrilled to be here.
There you go. Okay, so Aaron, we are so excited about the Pels being in playoffs. I know you are too. Let's talk a little bit about this Portland matchup. What are you thinking about it? Are you excited? Do you think it's going to be tough for the Pels?
I love it. That's why we had. That's why Pels had to win Wednesday night. We wanted Portland. Mm-hmm. Though we split the season series with them at 2 games apiece this season, we did have their number, and it does favor the Pels. And here's the thing. I'll just put it plain out. I'm going to take the winner of 5 straight and the team coming in 14 games over 500, which is a high water mark for them, over a team that's lost 5 of the last 7 here before that, you know, win over a tired Utah squad Wednesday for the Blazers. You know, when you look at these two teams and kind of the what have you done for me lately approach heading into this series, Pels are red hot. They're peaking at the right time, and they obviously have the depth that I'm sure we'll be getting into. But definitely favor the Pels in this matchup, so looking forward to it.
So, obviously, we know Portland has Damian Lillard. They have C.J. McCollum. They have Yusuf Nurkic. Nurkic, yes. So, what do you think needs to happen in order for the Pelicans to contain those three?
Nurkic, Jokic. Yeah,
exactly.
We got them all.
All of
them. Hey, I don't care how you spin his last name. There is not a big that can match up with Anthony Davis in this series. AD, and you mentioned it, Lillard. AD and Lillard are going to have their way in this series. Mm-hmm. They're superstars, they're all-stars, they're future Hall of Famers. They're going to get theirs in this series. The difference is AD has more help offensively. You know, Dame's number two option in C.J. McCollum, he's struggled this season against New Orleans. And I predict that to continue. And so I guess the trick is when defending those two, if you know Dame is going to get his, you can't necessarily stop both of them. You can't stop Dame Lillard, but you can contain him. But if you can at least take one of the two away, together, you know, they're a top three backcourt in the NBA behind Steph and Clay and, of course, Harden and CP3. But for some reason, in this series, the Pels, Drew Holiday, you know, has been able to slow CJ. So I see that continuing. And again, as I mentioned, the difference is AD has more help. You know, AD has the option of, you know, Drew's his number two, who's having a career season. You have Nico Mirotic, who is, like, in my mind, the second best trade in franchise history, behind, of course, Boogie Cousins last season. You know, and you got Rondo. You got a veteran in Rajon Rondo with a championship ring setting those guys up. You got Darius and Ian coming in off the bench. I mean, this Pels team is hitting on all cylinders right now. And so if you can go into the series knowing that, you know, you're not going to stop Dame Lillard, but you can stop C.J. McCollum, and there isn't a big on the floor, Aminu, Nurkic, I don't care who you throw at AD, no one's stopping him. I just think the numbers, the depth, favors New Orleans in this series.
Now, something we haven't really talked too much about is that, you know, they start this series in Portland with the time difference. And yes, they left yesterday, so they're getting acclimated to the time difference and everything. But realistically thinking, they're going to be playing a little later than what they're normally used to, as far as, I mean, I know they've done it all season, traveling to the West Coast. But do you think that's going to be a factor going into the series?
I'm glad they left yesterday. I'm really, because I know just in talking to different, you know, former players, analysts that, you know, we've all worked with, it's that's a tough trip. They all say Portland is a tough place to get to, and I know you two know that as well. And so I'm glad they're allowing themselves enough time to kind of adjust to the time difference and kind of get acclimated with, you know, just the kind of, Get some rest, you know, because I think, you know, again, this team is peaking at the right time, but you also need to make sure, like, we're healthy heading in and whatnot. So anyway, I like that they left yesterday. But this team, you know, they have thrived on the road this season. Like, I've actually preferred them on the road versus home, which is crazy to say, I know. And I love them at home because they got their peeps behind them, right? But this team has this, like, us against the world mentality when they are away from home. And I feel like, and again, a little inside, like in talking to some analysts and even in talking to like Coach Del Harris, who's been on the show with us, he's mentioned that he actually, as a coach, preferred being on the road as well, because you're able to kind of wrangle your team, so to speak, more so, you know, you don't have the at-home distractions that you do, you know, when you're on the road. It's more of like, you know, you're kind of, you're tighter knit, you're doing more together, you're able to kind of focus in, blinders on, so to speak. And so he said, as a coach, he actually preferred kind of being away from home, and some and players have kind of felt that way as well. So I think, I mean, these guys are going to be ready. I see them splitting the series in Portland. I got Pels in six. I'd like to see them get it at home, obviously, on that, in that sixth game. But I don't know. I have not worried. You know, they have like the fourth best road record in the league. I mean, I just think, time zone difference, road, whatever. I mean, I don't think that's going to matter. I think if anything, they're going to embrace that challenge. And I mean, you're in the playoffs, and contrary to, like, you know, what happened in 2015, like, they're not just happy to be here this season. Like, they're here, like, they it's not just one and done for them this year, right? Like, they truly believe they can get this series and see a round two. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Aaron, we don't want to, you know, keep it so boring with just an interview. We want to have a little fun with you.
Hopefully I haven't chased our listeners away.
No, of course not. So we've come up with a few team superlatives. You know, it's the end of the season, regular season. So going into the playoffs, we just wanted to have a little fun. And we've come up with a few best, you know, like, as far as, like, how a yearbook would do.
Let's do it.
Get your mind ready, okay? So, best dress. Now, I'm personally going to go with before games, like what I see when they come in, because I'm usually the one capturing them for social media. And I'm going to go with DeAndre Liggins, because out of everybody, he's the one that's always dressing up.
Really?
Yes.
Liggins, that's a dark horse. Would not have expected that.
Yes, he's
always. Gosh, I don't know. See, yeah, you get to see that, you know, you see them more often kind of when they're coming in.
Right.
You know what? Okay, so from best dressed maybe on the bench, you know, through injury, Ian Clark kind of surprised me with some of his outfits, right? Like,
yes,
when he was sidelined with injury, he brought it on the sideline. So I'm going to go with Ian Clark for that one.
Okay.
But Liggins, that's a pleasant surprise though.
So for me, it's kind of a toss-up between DeMarcus Cousins and Frank Jackson. So Frank Jackson's more like my style of like casual but dressy. But DeMarcus Cousins, when he came in, he was always like the one player that dressed up while everyone was in like sweats and stuff. Like, he had his, you know, classic outfits and little like overnight bag or whatever they call it. I don't know. But it was pretty funny.
Yes.
She's right there.
Okay, Frank has brought it this season. Frank has made sure he is dapper on the sidelines this year. I like that.
Okay, let's just make that a shared one then. Yeah. A few of them have more style than we think. Okay, so on to the next, and I think we'll all agree on this one. Easy. Best hair.
I mean, well, can it be like Drew currently? Because I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I was feeling the braids. As superstitious as I was, I don't know if I was feeling the braids. I like the curl, right? Like, Drew with the fro is like the Drew we know, right?
Well, I think it is just he's one of the ones who changes his hair so much. So you have no choice but to, like, okay, what are we going to get from him today?
Did you guys see the graphic that someone made, like, different hairstyles and what Drew's shooting percentage was with different hairstyles? It was like when he has two braids with the sweatband, he's 48%. He averages 5 turnovers. When he has cornrows, he's shooting 35% and 1 turnover. It was so funny.
No, it was perfect.
I love that because I'm a big believer. I'm super suspicious, obviously, which is why, like, Nico Miritich needs to never grow a beard again type thing. But yes, this is the Drew we know, and he is playing again, having a career year. We keep it, we keep the fro. I'm going Drew.
See, you mentioned Miritich. I kind of went, like, different with this vote. I did best lack of hair because Miritich has gone from 37% with the beard behind the 3-point line to 48% without the beard. Like, that is a big difference.
That's a
so
big
I'm going to say best lack of hair.
Well, it was perfect timing.
I like it.
It was perfect timing after the AD prank when everyone thought he, you know, shaved his unibrow, but instead it was Miritich with a whole new look, looking like a completely different person.
I dig it. I think it's so funny. Doesn't Miritich look completely different, though?
Completely different.
Nancy and I were commenting on it.
Yes, he looks like someone on, like, a JV basketball team. Like, he doesn't look, he looks like a high schooler. He doesn't look like a professional athlete. It's so funny.
I definitely
was
shocked.
Because he looks like he's fresh out of Harvard Law School.
Yes.
And I was like, what?
So clean shaven. It's so funny. And I remember the first day, I couldn't stop laughing. And he was like, "You're laughing at me." I'm like, "No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the fact because, like, all the reporters were in so much shock about his beard being gone. So it was like all the questions were about that, and it was hilarious to me."
All right,
I think people. You know what's funny is people question whether that was, like, a superstition with him. What were you guys hearing? Because a lot of people were like, "Oh, maybe he just decided to shave," and I'm like, "He just decided to shave it for the first time in 4 years. No, that doesn't happen. Like, it was a mental thing." And you guys know this as well as anyone with an athlete. I was trying to explain to some of our viewers that sometimes you just, like, when I was in a slump, I had to change, even if it was the smallest thing, like what I ate for breakfast or how I put my socks on, like the smallest thing. It was a mental thing more than anything.
Yeah, I think he was just looking for anything to change to get out of his slump. And so that's what he came up with. And hey, it worked. So whether he wants to put a penny in his shoe or shave his beard, whatever works.
Okay, so on to the next, Caroline.
Most likely to posterize? I think we're all going to vote AD.
Yeah, that's obvious.
By the way, his behind-the-back lob from Rondo the other, I mean, he is just, he's had some, like, humanly impossible dunks this season. It has been, hey, and we're in for more in this series because, like I said, there is no one that can match up with him. So we're in for a show when Rondo's on the floor with us.
I really think, it's going to be entertainment at its best because they're going to have fun with it. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget hashtag AD for MVP.
Throw that in there.
Hey, girl, the way he shouldered this team after Boogie went down, they weren't supposed to be here, right?
Right.
That's what the national media said, at least.
Right.
They weren't supposed to be in this position, and here we are. And what did he sweep, like, you know, he swept, like, what, February, March, April, Western Conference Player of the Month honor. So,
yes. Hey,
he's very much in the conversation. I think we'll be invited to the awards ceremony, the top three. I think he'll be there this year.
Nice.
Aaron, who do you think is the best dancer on the team?
Ooh, I mean, you know, because you watch so many other teams, like Russ Westbrook's always, mm-hmm. you know, doing his thing.
Right.
And but it's like, I was like, do we have, like, Shaq tries? Shaq has the best. Do we have, like, best celebratory?
That's actually my vote. That's actually my vote. Okay,
but what you guys don't remember is the one that always has dance fever during warm-ups is Drew.
Yeah.
He's always dancing. I mean, we have gifs of him doing his dances. Like, it's his thing.
But I think because I'm such a corny and awkward dancer that I, like, relate with Chek. Like, I'm like, yes, you have long limbs and you don't know what to do with them. I can relate.
Okay, so he's the best. Okay, so I'm going to pick Shaq for best, like, celebratory, like, moves. But Boogie, I mean, come on now, Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Boogie's been dancing since he was at Kentucky.
That's
like,
true.
He and Wall, that was, like, they kind of started that whole, what was the thing? It was, like, the, like, Cindy might know, like the fifth in.
Oh, the John Wall. They did the John Wall.
John Wall. I wish there were cameras in here to catch us because we both just did it.
Hey, oh my God, this is why we need video on this podcast, right? I would go viral right now.
I like climbed a mountain with my brother when I was younger, and I think when that came out, I was probably like in high school or something, and I did the John Wall at the top of the mountain, and I have a video of me just awkwardly standing on top of a mountain and doing the John Wall.
That was, and he and Boogie, that was like their thing, and I was also very impressed. I was impressed, and I was also relieved to see that Boogie still had his dance moves without crutches the other night in his boot. He still got it, so
yeah,
that
pop.
Was a sigh of relief for us to see.
Had a little body
but,
roll.
It was cool. Side note, how cool was it to see him in the locker room with the guys celebrating there? I mean, he was just as excited as everyone else. That was
and
cool.
I don't know if you know this, but DeMarcus Cousins is actually going to be with the team in Portland. He traveled out there, I think, on his own yesterday, and so he's going to be with the team in Portland, so that'll be cool too.
Nancy had coached him in Sacramento, and she spoke with Rondo the other night, and Rondo mentioned Boogie was going to be up there, and you know what? Nancy had proposed that idea a couple weeks ago. She was like, I think he needs to be with the team because it's one thing. He's such a vocal leader with this group, especially with AD. He knows how to light the fire under him, right?
Right.
But it's like Nancy always said, it's one thing hearing it from the coaching staff and Alvin and another thing hearing it from a teammate. So she was, and here's the thing, like he contributed to that, you know, he played just as large a role as them being in this position here.
Definitely.
I'm thrilled that he's going to be back with the group.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing we'll be seeing him in New Orleans, too, when they come back.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing dance moves. We'll be seeing more dance moves. Hopefully more celebratory dance moves in the locker room.
Right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. We had a great time with you, and obviously you're welcome to join us anytime you like.
I prefer the fun stuff. Tell my guy, Doug, I want more fun with you two on this podcast. People don't need me droning on about stats and whatnot. We can talk hoop, but I enjoy the lighter side with you two. And I'm thrilled that you two are getting a shot here at this Black and Blue Report. I think you guys are going to, you guys are going to kind of take it to another level. So thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
When we return, we're going to turn our attention to football, and we're going to talk to Casey Phillips, the team reporter for the Buccaneers, to discuss their 7th pick in the draft. Stay tuned.
It's playoff time, New Orleans, and the Pels are doing it bigger. Be sure to get in now for season tickets for the 2018-19 season and take advantage of the perks that come with your Squad 6 membership, like VIP events, special access, and a whole lot more. Season tickets start at $550. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit pelicans.com for more info. New Orleans Pelicans, do it bigger.
Welcome back in. I'm Caroline Gonzalez here with Casey Phillips, the team reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the 7th pick in the first round of the 2018 draft and 7 picks overall. Casey, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for asking.
Casey, I'm curious. So there's been a lot of talk about the secondary for the Bucs. Who is it that most has stood out to you the most in this draft class? Sorry.
It's okay. Get it out.
I don't know that there's one guy in particular. I know that a lot of the names that are floating around are, you know, Ward and Fitzpatrick and guys like that, Derwin James. I think that any of those guys seem like they have tremendous upside and could be some pretty good fits. I think that it's also a draft that could be a little bit deeper at those positions where you don't really know if that's going to be the 7th pick. I know that you're right in terms of secondary being an area that a lot of people are saying that the Bucs are going to make some moves in the draft. But, we pay so much attention to that first pick when, you know, we've seen Jason Light and his crew be really good in those mid rounds. I mean, guys like Quan Alexander coming in later that you could really see this be a position that maybe even multiple picks go towards the secondary, especially when so much was done on the defensive line, which was the big area that I think everyone was saying, you know what, I'm sure the Bucs are just going to go crazy on that D line. But now they've made a lot of moves. And something that Jason Light said at the owners' meetings actually was that when he was asked if all the moves that they did on the D-line would actually give them more flexibility in the draft. And he said, it definitely adds flexibility. I don't know if it changes who we will draft, but it does give us some flexibility. So I think that the secondary is that group that we didn't see a lot of movement in the offseason. So a lot of people are assuming that means they feel confident they could make some upgrades in the draft.
Other than the D-line and secondary, what are some other positions that you think they should address, even at the first, for your first round pick? I know running back is a position that you guys need to address, averaging 96 yards last season. So what is something that you think you should address in the first round?
Right. I think that number 7 overall pick is going to be less about a need that the Bucs have and a little bit more about who ends up being there, that the Bucs are at a really intriguing position, largely because of the game against the Saints, where the difference in pick 5 versus pick 7 has proven to be a pretty big deal here, as you talk about the idea of a lot of people think that 3 quarterbacks could go in that first bit of picks, and then you end up with potentially the Bucs being just out of what people are calling the 3 quarterback and then the 3 main guys of Barkley, Nelson, and Chubb. So I think really it's going to come down to, are there some trades up? How many quarterbacks go before the Bucs pick if one of those guys falls? I do think you could see running back be their pick at 7. If Barkley's there, I think everyone would be freaking out excited about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think that it's more about if one of those 3 guys is not there, then either it's, someone that they are just as excited about and confident about, or, Jason Light had also said that if, a lot of QBs go, and, one of those 3 guys is there, great, a positional player they'd be, really excited about. But he said they're not ruling out moving up or moving back at 7 or even in later rounds as well. He said that trades up and back are not out of the question, that they've got all things on the table here. So if they stay at 7, it either probably means, one of those guys they're really excited about has fallen, in which case a Barkley, a Chubb, or a Nelson is there, or they are just as excited about some of those other people that have been mocked to them. But I also think there's a big chance that they could move up or move back. Running back to me seems like one of those positions that they have been very excited about its depth. So I don't know that it's you have to go there with the pick 7. I think it's one where in the second or third rounds, there are still some guys that they are very excited about who could be there.
We often talk about the top names we hear going into this draft class, but are there any sleepers, I would say, that the Bucs have their eyes on?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot there. That's a question for some of our personnel guys in terms of what you'd even call a sleeper.
Right.
But I do think that it's more about a positional thing later in the draft where, Jason Light had talked about the idea that this draft does match up well with the Bucs' needs. And you always hear the debate about the need versus the player itself, best available versus need. And really the answer is always both. You're never making a pick based solely on one or the other. So I really think that the sleeper idea is going to just mean that it's a guy that hopefully ends up being like a Quan Alexander, where it's a later round pick that ends up being able to perform at a first round pick level. And that's what they've proven that they've been pretty good at recently. And I can see that being a running back, a secondary member, someone like that, that it gets picked up a little bit later in the draft that really could make a big impact on this team because of both need and when you're getting a really good value later on.
We talked a little bit about the secondary situation. Now you have veteran cornerbacks Brent Grimes, and then you also have Vernon Hargreaves. How do you think that a corner coming in will benefit having them as their vets?
Yeah, I think Brent Grimes is a amazing guy to be able to mentor and learn from. That he is someone who matches incredible athleticism. Like, he's almost this funny legend around here, where you hear stories of what he does in the weight room and on the practice field, and these box jumps where he's jumping over the roof. It's just crazy. So he pairs that, but he doesn't just rely on that. You can tell he's a guy that knows how this league works and is very smart about when he chooses to time, his jumps and his coverage, where he likes to make big plays, but you don't really see him gambling too much, which is, I think, something that can be an important lesson for those rookies coming in who want to make the big splash play, but you're also trying to balance that with good tackling form, not giving up big plays as well. So he's a perfect guy to come in with that. And Vernon Hargreaves, we're really excited to watch him be able to come back healthy, come off that injury. So I think those guys, and then there are even guys, you know, like Ryan Smith and some other guys on the roster that I think can impart some important lessons on coming in, being thrust into situations and how to learn to be a professional in this league. So I think that any secondary member that would be brought in could potentially have some really great guys to learn from and some great examples. And of course you have Mike Smith leading the defense and who better to have than that? He's been around this league and has really shown that he knows how to take this defense and do what it needs to do.
So Casey, I've had a frog in my throat the last two questions, so I'm going to try to get this one out clean. But you said that during the combine, you would most want to participate in the gauntlet drill. So I'm curious how many balls out of the 7 balls you think you would be able to catch?
Oh, 7, of course.
Of course, clearly, right?
You know, like, that's the attitude in the NFL, right? You're the best until proven otherwise. So, yeah, I actually, when I worked for the Rams, got to try my hand at the jugs machine, which was terrifying. It's so much faster than you anticipated being. And I planned on standing to the side so that if I missed, the ball just went past me, and then they made me stand directly in front of it. So that was apparently the key, was knowing that I either caught it or I died. And so I didn't drop any of them. So apparently under pressure, when it is either catch the ball or get your head taken off, I'm good to go. So that's the attitude I would go into the gauntlet with, and I think I got it.
See, I think I would be able to catch 7, but as soon as they change direction at the end, I feel like my legs would just go Bambi mode and get, like, tangled up, and I would just fall over when they, like, do that quick little change of direction at the end.
I do think the idea of having to look back and forth over and over, like, you'd be sort of disoriented by the end of it. Like, that's the part I think people probably underestimate, is having to look right, look left, look, like, that by the end, I feel like your equilibrium would be so thrown off. And yeah, I think that catching would no longer be the problem, and just running could prove to be the problem.
And you don't know if you can trust the passers, right? You don't know if they're going to throw it at the perfect time or anything like that.
Right. So if I dropped it, I would just blame it on them, clearly.
Exactly.
That's the way to do it. It wasn't the perfectly thrown ball.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Casey. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to see what you guys do with your first round pick and all of your picks.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate
no problem.
It. Thank you.
All right, be sure you tune in to the 2018 NFL Draft coming up in about 2 weeks here to see what the Bucks do with their number 7 pick. Cindy, free agency, it's still going on.
Still going, and the Saints have finally addressed an issue that everyone was waiting for.
Yep.
Adding another receiver. They recently signed Cameron Meredith to the team. He's young, coming from the Chicago Bears. And he honestly is kind of like a similar matchup to Michael Thomas. So that's going to be interesting to see them both line up together.
Yeah, he has kind of the same build. I mean, obviously it's the wide receiver build, but he's 6'3", 207 pounds. He was a go-to option for the Bears in 2016. He had 2 back-to-back 100-yard performances in the 2016 season. He's just going to be a really great asset for the Saints, and I think another great option for Drew Brees.
And obviously we're never going to decline anybody who can help our team grow, because we're looking for bigger and better next year, Super Bowl, right? That is the goal. You know, we came a little short this last season, but I think the moves that the Saints are making in free agency are definitely going to help move forward for next year. And then going into the draft, they're really setting themselves up to really not have to worry about picking out a necessity, but picking best available at that spot.
Yep. I think another thing to note about Meredith is that he was injured in a 2017 preseason game. He was tackled low, and he ended up tearing his ACL and MCL, so he couldn't play for the season, but he's been rehabbing since the preseason games last year, which were last August. So we're coming up probably on about a year-ish, you know, eight-ish months. So he's been rehabbing for all that time, and I'm excited to see what he does. I mean, when you're injured for that long, I was injured in basketball, and the whole time you're just so eager to get back. You know, you fine tune your skills. You're like, okay, I'm ready to get back out there. I'm ready to do some damage. So it'll be interesting to see that mindset he comes back with, and it'll be back with the Saints. So I'm excited.
He's very confident that he's going to be ready to go week one. So I don't think the injury is something that he's worried about. I think he's done all he needs to do as far as rehabbing and still going to continue up until the season comes. But he, in all his interviews he's done and whatever, he's been very confident that he'll be ready to go week one. So we shall see what happens. Make sure you guys tune into NewOrleansSaints.com to listen or read up on his interview.
Yeah, he's going to have an interview with the New Orleans media today around 12:30. One of the things that is going to be addressed during that time is how how he's going to feel coming back to his wide receivers coach, Coach Curtis Johnson.
Yes.
He played with Curtis Johnson in 2016 when he was with the Bears, and with when Coach CJ was with the Bears, he had his best season during that time. So I kind of am interested to see those things that CJ taught him or instilled in him that were so impactful to have him have that such a great season.
Well, that just makes it easy for him to come in to this team because he already knows how Coach CJ is. He's going to fit right into his scheme of everything because, once you know your coach doesn't change much.
Right.
He got hired for a reason, not to change his, methods, but to bring his methods to the team. So I'm sure it'll be an easy fit for Cameron.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Well, we're almost back to football.
Yeah.
It's almost football time. We've been talking about Pelicans, and obviously that's top of mind right now, but also the Saints players are coming back
Monday.
Sunday and Monday they'll be in the weight room. Sunday is their first day that they're allowed to be in there. So
but Monday is the official return date for OTAs.
Right.
Now, we already know that's optional training, but
Is it really optional?
It's like one of those, it's optional, but you better be
quote-unquote,
here. Unless you're just one of those veterans that have, grinded out and put your time in, and, you don't really need to be there. But even those, I like to see those vets come in because it sets a good example for your younger players that, every moment with the team counts.
Right.
So I think it'll be fun to see them around the facility, mm-hmm. getting back to their, getting ready for their season. I'm pretty sure they're excited. Hopefully we can get some of them in here since they'll be around now and, maybe join our podcast one of these days.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good opportunity for the Saints coaching staff to kind of see what they've been doing in the offseason. I know ever since LeBron James posted himself working out, I feel like it's been a new trend professional players, I'll say, that have been posting themselves work out. We know they've been working out because we see it every second of
Saints
every day
on
social, but it'll be interesting to see, how much that has affected their strength and performance and all that stuff.
I'm trying to think the one I've seen go the hardest on social, I would have to say has been Marcus.
Marcus Williams. Yeah. Marcus Williams has definitely been the best. Did you see the video he put out of the video against the Vikings?
Yes.
I thought that was amazing.
It was very I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let this moment define who I am as a player, as he should. And he had a phenomenal year.
Mm-hmm.
One mistake does not determine.
Does not define your future.
The type of player you are. So he's always been a hard worker since. I've been here to see him play, so it'll be exciting to see him going into this year. Like Coach Payton said, I hope he's not overworking himself.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the video, you should go to Marcus's Twitter. I don't have the Twitter top of mind right now, but it's a video where he posts the game film from the Saints versus Vikings playoff game, and it shows him missing the tackle, obviously, and then it transitions into him and how hard he's been working out over the off season and things like that. So it's kind of just a statement of, I understand that I made a mistake, but it's not going to define my future, which is awesome because I feel like every time he tweeted or put anything on social media, someone would comment back, and it was so obnoxious. It was like, yes, he gets it. Stop trolling him.
Right. His Twitter is at Marcus Williams, just his name, very simple. And yeah, it's a very inspirational video to anybody that has you're going after your dreams and you're going to hit road bumps. Things are going to happen, but you should never give up for sure.
What else have you been seeing on social, Cindy?
Well, since we both, you have a background in basketball
mm-hmm.
as a college athlete, and I played in high school. We have a very, very strong appreciation for the WNBA.
Yeah.
Well, so does Mr. Alvin Kamara.
Yep. He was at the WNBA draft yesterday. A lot of amazing women went into the WNBA. Did you actually see... I think it was Asia Wilson who got the video from Blake Griffin, and she was, freaking out.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, my gosh. It was funny.
Yeah, I follow Players Tribune, so she took over Players Tribune Instagram story. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing her. She was like kind of taking her through her day and what she's done in New York. And then when she got drafted, it was like, I can't wait to see the results. And then they showed, she's like, I'm part of Las Vegas Aces. Like, right. You know, go team. So that is, it's exciting. She had a very, very good year.
Absolutely.
Years, it was, I guess, college career. So it'll be fun to see her in the WNBA. You guys, watch the WNBA.
It was cool to see Alvin there and supporting it, because a lot of times you have such a negative connotation with female athletics. Right. And it's like, unless they're playing volleyball, you know, and it's like a female-only sport, right, nobody really cares about it. But it was cool to see that women's basketball support, because let's be honest, the WNBA does not have nearly the exposure that any of the other professional leagues have.
Well, seeing that how well the NCAA like women's tournament was, I think that had sparked, you know, some more interest, because you've seen so many men tweet. If you're not watching women's basketball because you say it's boring compared to men's, like you don't know sports, or you're not really, you know what I mean? And it's really, you're canceling it out because they're women immediately without even looking, because that's some of the greatest competition.
It's
right
so
there.
Fundamental. It's not dunks. It's not, you know, fancy.
Which is exciting.
But it's
yes,
it's fundamental. And these girls are doing so much with so little. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. You know, men are far more athletic when it comes to that. You know, they can do more. They can dunk the basketball. They can jump way higher most of the time. I don't know. A lot of women can jump really high. But it was cool to see that support, and for such a great league.
Right. And finally, Saints on Social. Yesterday was Mr. Ted Ginn's birthday, so we want to give him a happy belated birthday shout out. And then also, he celebrated his anniversary as well that same day. So that's kind of cool, getting married on your birthday. So yeah, happy anniversary.
Easy to remember the birthday day, right?
Yeah, you can't forget. You can't forget. That was smart, though. My birthday is our anniversary, honey. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it.
Did you see Alex Anzalone and AJ Klein go to the Strawberry Patch?
Oh yeah, with their significant others.
It was
very
so cute. They were picking strawberries. Big advocate for Louisiana strawberries. So I think they went to Albany, Louisiana, and picked strawberries. So they looked really good,
so
and
how
I
far
want
is
them.
That?
I don't know. Honestly, I think it's, I want to say an hour, but I could totally be wrong. I've only lived here for 5 years.
We're
so
both not. I'm not from here, so I really don't know. This is only I've been here 6 months, maybe. Yeah, still fresh, you guys, still fresh. I've only been in New Orleans, basically. And then let's, you know, since we're getting on birthdays, let's give an early shout out to Ryan Ramczyk, whose birthday is tomorrow, Saturday. Happy birthday to him. And yeah, that'll wrap up our Saints on Social, because you know that we can go on all day with these guys, but
they do tweet a lot.
All the time.
But another thing that the Saints account tweeted out was the preseason schedule. It has been released for 2018.
Totally forgot about that.
Yep. How could you forget, Cindy?
I mean, I didn't forget, but you know, I forgot to throw that in there. My bad. Saints on Social wasn't over. My bad, y'all.
So the preseason schedule was released for the Saints. The exact days, I don't believe, have been released, but the matchups have, and whether it'll be home away. So week one, the Saints will play at Jacksonville against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Which I'm a little salty about, because, like, why do we have to start our preseason away? But whatever.
Make the second game that much better. Week two, we play at home in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome versus the Cardinals.
That'll be fun.
Week three, we play at the Los Angeles Chargers, who I'm sure the Saints will see in training camp and stuff like that.
Yeah,
last year they went up there.
I think they might have the same plan to do the extra few days out there, joint training camp, and then they'll play their preseason game. So I'm low-key hoping I get to go, because that's home, and I'm just trying to get a moment home,
right,
like a little bit, just a little bit.
Speaking of home, our last preseason game on week four is at home here at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the Los Angeles Rams. So that'll be cool. You know, they have some new additions, but that doesn't stop us.
Some new additions, yeah, for sure. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Still confident in us, though.
I mean, can we just say
the dome will be rocking?
Is it okay if we just say it? Brandon Cooks will be making his return back to the dome. Not like he hadn't already, though, because when they played, you know, he came when they played the Patriots. But a new team, new atmosphere. It'll be, you know, it's always going to be that competitiveness, because this was his first home. So that will be interesting for sure. And then we'll keep a lookout for the regular season schedule to be dropping soon.
Yeah, I think we have something pretty exciting planned for that. So yes. Make sure you go to NewOrleansSaints.com, follow New Orleans Saints on social media to check that out, because we're coming up with some cool stuff for y'all.
While we're still on the topic of Saints, tomorrow the Saints are having a yoga event in the practice
namaste
facility. Yes, namaste,
namaste at the Saints practice
right
facility.
So you guys should definitely check that out. It's in conjunction with Ochsner. It'll be a yoga session with, I believe there's gonna be Saints players there, or a player, one or the other. You guys should definitely check it out. It's, I think, $20 to register. Go to NewOrleansSaints.com. All the information is there. You can register, join, whatever it is. Have fun.
Find your inner self.
I'm telling you, yoga's fun. It's hard. It's way harder than people think it is, but it gets you right.
Gets the blood pumping.
For sure. Okay, but back to these Pelicans. You guys know tomorrow is the start of playoffs. You guys can watch the game on Fox Sports New Orleans or ESPN at what time, Caroline?
9:30.
I know it's late, y'all, but
take
your
nap.
Get your friends together. Cook.
Get some Dixie beer.
It's a Saturday, so, like, you know, you can – it's the perfect time to stay up late. Let's mm-hmm. get it right. You watch the game, stay up late, then go out and have some fun with your friends. Watch party. Do whatever you got to do, but make sure you're tuning in to cheer on our Pels. We need all the support, like I said, we can get. And then also remember that playoff tickets are already on sale. If you haven't already gone to check it out, it's 504-525-HOOP. And then Pelicans.com. So,
guys, I cannot stress this enough. Portland is in the top 10 in NBA average attendance per game since 2008. Every year they've ranked in the top 10 for attendance. So their arena is going to be absolutely packed. We need ours absolutely packed. We need to welcome these Pelicans players home. We need to encourage them in the playoffs. We need the most support that y'all can give them. So make sure you go online to Pelicans.com and buy your tickets.
Seriously, though, we need it just as loud as the Dome was for the Saints. So let's get this going, you guys. Also, don't forget the Saints Trivia Contest. I hope you guys are doing it every day. You have how many more days left, Caroline? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's a pretty cool prize.
Yeah, very cool prize. You get two home tickets to every home game of the Saints season next year. Every regular season home game. Two tickets. Free. Free. Just to come to the game. Every home game.
Download the New Orleans Saints app. It's easy. It's free. All you have to do is download the app, and every day, I think around noon, you'll get a notification that the trivia question is up. You just go in, answer it, and you're entered for your chance to win. So make sure you download that and answer your questions every day.
That's it for today's show. I'm so happy you guys joined us. We appreciate all the love. Till next time, I'm Cindy Robinson.
And I'm Caroline Gonzalez.
Have a good day, y'all.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report. If all goes well, we'll be back next week. Tune in each weekday at 1 p.m. or at your convenience exclusively online at NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.